Dear love and heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day and for life and health and strength. And pray your good hand upon us. Please help us, Lord, watch over us, be with our absent brethren, wherever it is may be, and bless your time in your house. Just thank you for all your many helps and blessings for your salvation, for the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And Lord, I pray you that even now that you're working in people's hearts and minds, Lord, things are getting just crazy. I pray you please for your help at every turn and huge portions of wisdom for all of us. We love you and thank you. Leave these things at your feet, Father. We pray that you would grant them according to your word. Bless all those that stand at this particular time, opening your Bible and preaching the full counsel. We love you and praise you. Amen. Amen. Right. We'll sing a few songs of us. I was thinking maybe we'll just drop the singing a wee bit this evening, but we'll see how it goes. We're going to begin with number 30 in the wee black book. Number 30 is I Need Jesus. Okay. We'll remain seated as we sing.
He is the Savior. change of books. We're going to do one that's really straightforward, but really 187, I think it is. It's called Jesus Loves Me. Jesus Loves Me, this I know. We think we could probably sing it without the words, but I wouldn't want to embarrass myself by attempting to do so. 187 in the big book, Jesus Loves Me.
Stephen's reading is from the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 1. Please, I can pronounce his name. I've got the index. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. The Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their face, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. The Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. The Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my word in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, and to destroy and to throw away, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. The word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, what seest thou? And I said, I see a seeding pot, the face thereof is toward the north. The Lord said unto me, out of the north an evil shall break forth on all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdom of the north, said the Lord. They shall come, and they shall set every one stone at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. I will utter my judgment against them, touching all their wickedness. Who hath forsaken me, and hath burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands? Now therefore, gird up thy loins, arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day as a fenced city, an iron pillar, brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. They shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, who delivered thee. Amen.
Just a reminder about our prayer list. Please do remember that. How are we fixed for private prayer requests? Norman, you still got some?
Yeah.
A lot going on. I think there's quite a few instances of Muslim violence going on in the country at the moment. Not necessarily in Northern Ireland, but certainly across in the mainland. A lot of people being stabbed and a lot of trouble being stirred up against Christians and Jews. So please do be praying about that. And if you ever get the opportunity to step in and help someone, that one of God's people, whether they're God's people by nation or God's people by spirit, make sure that you do. I do believe the Lord will honor those that stand for Israel. Norman, you look like you.
We have a big sale of EPNs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, definitely. Dan Morton said today that he threatened me. He said he might be able to travel our country.
Good. So, things are real. And a lot of prayer, but we've got a preparation maybe as well would be in order. So, keep your wits about you. The Lord said, we can go out looking for trouble. Be as gentle as a dove, but we need to be as calm as a serpent. So, do be much in prayer. Amen. Here we all have our private prayer requests. Pray for Ling and Dr. Shine. They'll be starting to travel probably about this time tomorrow. And should be back in the UK around about 9 o'clock. Did you say 22 9 or 20 past 9? On Friday evening, so please do pray for them. Pray for their cat.
It's
spoiled rotten. It's about that size before you put a tail on him. Like a small mountain lion. But as long as you're feeding him, he's your mate. Pray for Frank as well. Colin, or young Stephen as he's affectionately known. Bethel, and Norman, Stephen. Kate, Will, Christine and Marianne. Don't forget William as well and Rachel. John McGowan, John McMahon, pray for Steve as well. If you would. There's a lot going on. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Everything, wasn't the words of the song, all things change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Right, we'll have a quick prayer and then we'll sing another song. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for your many helps and blessings. Thank you, Lord, for this little time that we can come together to praise you and worship you. I pray you please, Lord, that you would look kindly upon us. You would check our hearts, Lord. Make sure we're always genuine. And Father, you know everything that's going on. And I pray you please, Lord, that you would hinder all of those that are, whose hearts are set in mischief and paganism and heathenism. And Lord, bless those your children, whether it's the Jews or the adopted Jews, that's you and that's me and everybody else. I pray that you would bless those that bless us, Lord. Do indeed thank you for watching over us. I pray for all of our absent brethren and our brethren across the world, wherever it is that they are. I pray you, Father, please, for your hand upon them in these difficult times. Thing about it is, Lord, you said that whenever we see all these things happening around about us, that we're supposed to look up for our redemption draw. And I pray you, Lord, that we would never do that. We love you and praise you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and for saving our souls. And we ask all this and a private prayer request for absent brethren and for those, Lord, that have had a weak gospel tract or a word in their ear. Please save their souls. Amen. Amen. Well, we are in the Wee Black Book again. And we're at number 38 this time. Number 38 is How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds. Number 38, you're able to stand as we stand. And number 38, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds. Pardon? Yeah, just go left, maybe 20. 20 pages from Matthew. That would probably have been the easier way to do it. We're in Zechariah chapter 1. We want to read the first half dozen of verses of this portion of God's word. We want to speak about dominoes. We want to speak about dominoes. I don't mean the pizza place. Book of Zechariah, Zechariah chapter 1. In the 8th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, that's Darius to me, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, The Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Therefore, say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. But they did not hear, nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, Like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us, according to our ways, and according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us. Amen. Amen. Verse number 4 is our text, but I just wanted to open with this little portion of God's word from the book of Zechariah. Talking on the subject of dominoes, let's have a quick prayer and then we'll go. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to read and study the word. And I pray you please, Lord, for your good hand upon us and the portions of this as we look at what you said to people thousands of years ago. And Lord, how appropriate they are even for the days today. We love you and thank you. And we ask all these things, Lord, and for our brethren across the world, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I know the books of the Bible are not, in the Old Testament, certainly are not in any chronological order, except the fact that Genesis is at the very beginning. But this account, if you were to read, you would be more likely in order if you were to read Nehemiah, Ezra, Nehemiah, Daniel, Haggai, and Zechariah, because Darius the Mede was the first of the Medo-Persian rulers that took the kingdom from Nebuchadnezzar's son, Belshazzar, after he saw the writing on the wall. So as far as the judgment that God had pronounced upon the children of Israel for ignoring him and wandering away from him for decades, we are well into it. However, even though the Lord is busy spanking the behinds of the children of Israel, he is still pleading with them to turn from your evil ways and I'll bless you. Well, you turn unto me, I'll turn unto you. Verses 3 and 4. However, the Lord noted that and reminded the children of Israel that even though he sent many prophets, one of whom, of course, was Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, to beg the people to straighten themselves out and quit listening to and copying the people of and the heathens and the pagans in the promised land, they still wouldn't do it. So God reminded them where they'd fallen from and what had been allowed to happen to them. And he begged them, turn from your evil ways. And you know what the great thing about it is? God gave them this chance even though they were way down the road, and even in the middle of being punished for turning the woman. I'm not sure what the first failure in their society was. In all honesty, it was most likely a many-pronged attack that the world of flesh and the devil launched on them, but it was successful. And one of the first things in it that caused them all, your Father, was not doing what God said, disobeying the word of God, whenever he said to utterly destroy all the inhabitants of the promised land, and then it would be theirs, and they would have no borders. But they didn't do that, and because they didn't do that, many times the people that they had as servants rose up against them, took control. So the first problem that they had was ignoring God's word, and then allowing sin to find a comfortable place in their lives. And many times the Lord said and warned them, get rid of anything and everything that will cause you to stray, people specifically, destroy them all, destroy men, women, and children, destroy everything to do with them, their clothes, their music, their writings, everything, destroy it utterly, and then it will not affect you. That was the first couple of problems. I don't know what the next one was, but if we were to look at our own society, you would have to say that alcohol is a great destroyer. And how many people's lives and bodies have been destroyed by alcohol? And it's normally a slow motion wreck because it creeps in and it grabs a hold of the person, and then it just won't let go, and it normally has a lot of other problems that come with it, like immorality, the sexual revolution, and the free love of the hippies during the 60s. And even the music that goes with it. They said one of the greatest curses of modern man is the rock and roll music. Elvis Presley, a lot of people say, oh, great singer, but he was the foot in the door of a lot of bad music. And then the shops open on the Sabbath. If we were to read back into the days of Nehemiah, as Nehemiah was rebuilt in Jerusalem, there were people that started to come to the city on the Sabbath day. And Nehemiah eventually had to say, when he locked the gates, and even came to the gates, he said, unless you go away, I'm going to kill you all. We need to have time set aside to worship and praise the Lord. Now the problem with following all of those things is that it takes too long. Sin is hard on me. It literally reminds me of many of the American presidents, I think all except one or two in the past 30 to 40 years. Most, if not all of them, have started with full heads of colored hair. Is that the right way of putting it? Normal hair. But after their term in office, most, if not all of them, have come away white-haired. It's almost like they have been subjected to something or exposed to something that sucked all the youth and vitality and life out of them and left them dry of husks. Sin's hard on a body. And you need to recover from it if you're going to be doing your work. And so I am sure a lot of people laid in their bed on the Sabbath day instead of getting out and going to synagogue and resting their bodies and mind, even in the presence of God. I am sure one of the other things maybe was that the services were a lot livelier in the pagan churches. But they used to have temple prostitutes, and male and female, and this was one of their forms of worship. They had more attractive looking clothes. I was surprised as Monica and I went out this morning to do a bit of shopping, just how many wee girls run around in a pair of tights. And they call it clothes. And it's there for a reason. It's not to draw attention to their qualifications or their sparkling wit. It is simply to draw attention to their figures and their bodies and to do nothing more than encourage people to think carnally about members of the opposite sex. And so the rules were a bit looser. The clothes were a little bit more revealing. And the old, a little bit of what you fancy of doing a new harm started to creep in. And they started befriending the Jews and saying, we're not so bad. Why don't you come along and join with us? So that we're no different to you. And the problem with that is, before very long, and it happened many times in the Old Testament, neighbors' children were getting married. The Jews were getting married to pagans. And I tell you, God's people are always the ones that need to compromise. all the time. The Jews are called upon to compromise. The Christians are called upon to compromise. It is never the Muslim that's called upon to compromise. It is never the Hindu that's called upon to compromise. But the Jew always had to compromise. And soon they were so compromised, they saw these pagans and heathens as their brethren, and then they were afraid of not blending in, and so they compromised. They didn't have time to read their Bibles anymore because they were out partying with their friends, and they didn't have time to pray anymore, or their hearts were so heavy with sin that they couldn't go before God. Their consciences was bothered. And they couldn't tithe anymore because they needed their money for this new lifestyle that they had. And one by one, all the bands and chords that are mentioned in Psalm 2, all the things that kept the people right with God, they were gone. And the Christian and the Jew had to stoop to the level of the people that really needed to step up and get saved. And suddenly, well, probably actually quite gradually, you can't tell the difference between the children of God and the children of the devil. And then chastening comes for the saved, and judgment comes for the lost. And that's pretty much what happened. And that's where we are in the book of Zechariah as we open this first of our chapter. The title for the message is Dominoes. And you know the way dominoes work? Not the game, but the activity that people have, setting them up so they push one over, and that one falls and pulls another one down, and so on and so on and so forth, until all the dominoes are knocked down. And if you get enough of them together and make a video of them, put it on YouTube, it looks quite entertaining. And it's not a matter of, if we're not careful, we'll end up that way today. We already haven't been careful. And we are actually right there with our brethren of 2,500 years ago. We are suffering. We've been foolish. And we've been careless. And we've been envious of those that live loose lives, of the wicked and their deadness. And we find ourselves under the heel of the Babylonian, the Medo-Persian, the Grecian, the Roman, or the revived Roman Empire, just like the children of Israel. Decades ago, you could have heard of one or two cases that were really slack concerning the teaching and preaching. Oh, that church doesn't preach the gospel. Oh, that church moved away from the King James Bible. Now, most churches refuse to preach the gospel because they're afraid of offending non-church members. And you need to know that most times the people that complain never ever darken the church door, but they will complain about it. But because the people in the seats, they just want to have a wee taste of God, make them feel good on a Sunday, and then they want to go out and slake their appetites and the offerings of the world so that they feel good in every other day. And woe betide the person that stands up and says, look, hold on a wee second, this is actually very bad for us. It's not a matter of stopping the first domino from falling. That happened decades ago. We're down to the last few dominoes before they come back. Let's have a look at a few of those dominoes that have fallen. There's a big difference between saved and lost people. And that is Jesus Christ. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all the many promises and blessings that are in the Bible for the saved soul, that's the difference. The difference between a saved and a lost person is, should you lose your money, your health, your family, your friends, should you lose your senses, should you lose limbs, should your life be ebbing away, even as you hear these words or speak your last, Jesus Christ still has you, and you still have Jesus Christ as your Savior. In other words, you have everything, and you're about to inherit heaven. Lost soul is none of that. And everything goes. Everything that this world can take away is taken away. Everything is gone from a lost soul. The dominoes that have already fallen is a sustained attack upon the presence of God in any or every part of our lives. It is now pretty much illegal to talk about God in any workplace or any public building. And sure, it will not be too long before it's illegal to do it in public. Even the churches hardly ever mention the need for salvation anymore, for repentance, and from turning ourselves and living according to the God of the Bible. Even in churches, it's made okay to be out of church because you've worked or you're tired or you're angry or you're sad or you're sick or any one of a dozen, or maybe a couple of dozen excuses that people have. The preacher preaches for too long, or he doesn't preach long enough, or he shouts, or he makes me feel bad. People are even told you don't have to pray because God knows all your thoughts and all that you need. You don't have to read your Bible because God's going to take you to heaven whether you want to go or not. And why would you even think of singing God's praises? Because as far as you know, he hasn't done anything for you. And certainly, things are tight these days. You don't have to tithe. At every turn, they're destroying Christian standards. That would even help lost souls when people's reminded of them. They've gotten rid of God, and they make work, money, prestige, power, popularity, things and stuff, leisure, sport, family, fitness, the most important things in the world. The times are different. But the goals of the world, the flesh and the devil are just exactly the same. And that is to destroy God's people. And then to destroy all people. So whenever people's eyes and hearts and minds are devoid of anything to do with God, the world, the flesh and the devil can destroy those things that the people trust in. Take it all away. Leaving the souls with all of the dominoes in their lives, flat in their face, with nothing. God's definitely out of the equation for most people in the world. But soon, and they made a concerted effort about it, their health will be gone too. The Word of God talks about plagues in the last days, the tribulation, great tribulation. But you look at the during the 2020-2021 pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic, how many people took that injection that the government was offering that didn't actually do anything to help you? You look at the way wealth is going at the moment, and how the banks are striving their very, very best to take control of it to the others. Paying people to stay at home, giving them money away to fund the war in Ukraine, undermining the great gambling system that is the stocks and shares markets, the stock market. So if people's money disappears, that's one of the greatest gods in this world, just undermined. And then what about our safety? What about our personal safety? We seem to see time and time again of very lately roving bands of young men from different countries going around the streets and attacking people with knives and machetes, striking fear into the hearts of the public. And this government that we've trusted in for so long is doing its level best to cause as much trouble as they can, making Christian values illegal and promoting immorality and paganism and everything that is anti-Christian at every turn, abortion, they're breaking up on marriages. Everything. Everything that's wicked and bad and it's designed to destroy people, the government's for. And everything that is good for people, the government's against. And no matter where a person turns, these parts of people's lives will be worn away, stolen away, or wiped out until there's nothing left. And for most folks, we're going to end up with nothing. I think it's the big thing at the moment in these 15-minute cities. The government will say, we'll give you a box to live in, we'll give you a box to watch, we'll give you a little box to eat out of, you'll have nothing and you'll be happy. But for all that the world, the flesh and the devil will take away, saved folks still have the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ stretches out a hand still to anyone. Yes, the world, the flesh, and the devil may take everything that people can lay their hands on. But they can't take anyone out of the Savior's hands. Lord said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Well, the flesh and the devil, we try to take the dominoes out of our lives one at a time. We can see it happening even now. Until he gets complete control over everything that is left. And he will try to be that. He has wanted to be like the Most High God ever since the iniquity was found in him. And he is going to do his best to do it. He also knows, however, that a Christian with nothing but the Lord has still everything they need to go on in this life. They have salvation. They have the assurance of it. They have a purpose, which is reaching out to lost souls. They have the power of God resident in their very lives, in their hearts and minds. They have the words of eternal life on their lips if they want them. They have the friend closer than a brother. They have the ear of God Almighty, the ministrations of the angels, the intercessions of Jesus Christ for us, and so many other helps for right here and now. And whenever this life is over, a home in heaven, with a new and a glorified body that will never get old or cold or tired again, and never shed another tear. And more than that, the keys to the kingdom for the thousand-year reign when Christ comes back to Jerusalem. But last domino for a Christian will not fall, because it is founded upon the solid rock. And even though the world, the entire world may shake and tremble, the solid rock that is Jesus Christ will never budge, not one bit. It will never move. And that last domino, man gave his life on the cross of Calvary. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His promises are good and will still be good until the world goes up in flames and there's no more need for them. The Bible said that the Bible will stand. Not one jot or tittle shall pass, but everything is fulfilled. So what's happening in the world? But don't get caught up by what's happening in the world. Don't get caught up. Look up. The Bible says, God said, when you see all these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Remember that. When everything else is coming apart at the seams, Jesus never changes. Yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. I appreciate your sportsmanly behavior and bearing with me as we spend this time in God's Word. I want to sing a hymn. If I can find it here, we'll sing that one already. Yep, hymn number 41. We'll sing 41 in the book, and then we'll be done. Hymn number 41 is the Sweet By.
Not a sign for the blessed.
Meantime, Lord, I pray that we keep our eyes on you no matter what's going on, and be mindful always, Lord, of what you have to say. Thank you for taking time with us, Lord, and bearing with us. Please save souls, even these dark days. Please be with friends and families and loved ones who don't get there. And I pray you, Lord, for opportunities to speak to each one. Love you and praise you. And I ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus.